and give a very. It was just a.
But I just to take up that point, I believe it's a valuable idea. It's a little bit away from the mandate for these metrics, but it is something that I believe, as ALAC and at large, you should encourage your chairman of ALAC to raise with Kurt and the management team for the new GTLDs, because case studies are valuable. And if we have samples of case studies in city TLDs, community TLDs, dot brand, it would be ideal to have a set of case studies. So I think that was a flash of brilliance.
I will keep you updated about the process. At this moment, at this stage, we are in a very early stage. We're just having some discussions with the local government. But if this goes further and I will discuss it with XCOM, then I would really strongly propose to take this as a study case indeed.
I would be highly surprised if ICANN did not value that offer. And if they do, then we have other problems. The proposed metrics, again, in the very fuzzy-edged phase, we're trying to look, and we don't even know how we're going to look yet. This is the topics we want to look at. The transparency and clarity of offerings to registrants. The number of new registrants versus existing registrants. In other words, have I just got all the defensive registrations going on, or am I actually getting new registrants in the system after new GTLDs. The choice for registrants to select amongst registrars and registries that are subject to different national laws, because we've got this big round globe thing and there's all this jurisdiction differences. So we do need to have them, I guess, classified like we thought earlier on in some of our measurements. And finally, the percentage of defensive registrations in new GTLDs as determined by a number of unique websites. And this is where you can help us by suggesting some of the websites we could be looking at. Next slide, thank you. There we go. Well, questions. We had nothing but questions, but we have some more. Okay, I see Ganesh, and then if Baudouin, if you would like to come and over, or can we get a mic to Baudouin? Do we only have one mic? And then I see Eduardo. Go ahead, Ganesh.
Sorry, Cheryl, I think you need to kind of, again, give me a background because this is the first time I'm hearing about this thing. You know, when you come up with any initiative and trying to measure the effectiveness of a new initiative, why reinvent the wheel and come up with new set of metrics? Because if we had measured internet adoption on these parameters before, as the GTLD adoption picks up, and if you look at the same metrics, that should give us an indication of what the impact was before and after.
Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Whatever.
Bad news is those metrics you think exist do not. The good news is this gives us the opportunity to set them up beforehand. Baudouin, where are you? Oh, you've got a mic. Go ahead. Thank you, sir.
Oui, Cheryl, j'ai des préoccupations parce que.
Cheryl, I am concerned. Wow. S'il vous plaît, my question is more concern following a discussion I had with final users in my country. They ask many questions. They say, why new GTLDs, when we can create our own domain with .fr without looking for additional complications, and also the cost factor that was also asked. So in this process, and the question asked is, what is a registry? We don't see them. It's resellers that are intermediates. So we have difficulties to explain these new GTLDs. In this hypothesis, when we talk consumers, this was a concern that was also raised. Who is a consumer and who is a user? Because after all, we are all consumers and users of our domain. So the problem was to know how to convince final users to fulfill the new concepts of the new GTLDs.
An end user to be involved in the new GTLD program is basically at the do they make a click on it end of the spectrum. If you're talking about registrants, in other words, people who wish to have a name dot something, as you were describing the dot FR model, there may be, and that's why we need to measure now and then, they might build all these wonderful new phalangy sort of registries and new GTLDs and no one will come. Okay, that didn't work. But we need to be able to measure it. So from a consumer perspective, we need to find out if the influx of however many new GTLDs make it through the process and get put into the root and then get registrants within their particular domain, we need to see has that had an effect on consumer choice, consumer trust, and consumer confidence. And it may be a very interesting answer, but we can't predict. But what this work group is about is making clear, identifiable definitions that we can all agree on and saying, here is a set of measurements we need to take now before we go this next step into new GTLDs. The review team that will follow will be in position to make recommendations, which is where we come to perhaps feedback into RAA and other issues. But what this work group is all about is making sure we get the metrics at pre-launch correct. But it's not our job to sell confidence in or convince people that new GTLD programs is or is not a good thing. But remember, in new GTLDs, you have the opportunity of many scripts, the multilingual opportunities, the fit for small and niche group purpose could be quite exciting. Okay? I think it's Eduardo. Okay, then. Right. Go ahead.
Eduardo Diaz for the record. If we can go back to the previous slide, I have just had one question.
Okay.
The second bullet where it says number of new registrants versus existing registrants, if I already have a domain and I now register another domain in a new GTLDs, am I considered a new registrant in that point?
You may if it is not a defensive registration.
So
if it was a new purpose, perhaps a new mechanism, you want to get product X or service Y into a particular language or geographic location, that would be new. But if you've just registered it because you don't want anyone else to, that comes in under the measurement of the defensive ones.
Okay, so my question is how do you know if I'm registering a domain defensively or for a new product? Tell me how you measure that.
The defensive ones, one would assume, would have a high correlation with original name, right? If I'm registering .apple, .orange, and .banana, perhaps I'm interested in fruit. And that would be all separate. But if I've done orange.fruit, orange.orange.orange. We can see that parity, okay? Yavi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Yao V. It's a comment from what the question from Baudouin, and I think when we had a previous session on outreach, I was asking myself as a user, what is the interest of all these things, but finally it's very, very important. Even if I have easily today, I can go to .com, do something very cheap, me as an end user, I have to know everything. I have to get all the information about the new digital ID, the advantage, all these things are very, very important. So just to mention that, how it is linked to the outreach, even if you don't, you are not going to pick a new domain or continue what we are doing, the outreach is very important. We consumer, even if you are just using the domain or you are registering, it's very, very important to have the information, all the information about the new process, the new utility. So just to comment that the outreach program is very, very important for we from the Afralo or the end users so that we can contribute to the whole process. This is just a comment.
I'm sure all of us agree with that, Yavi. It's critical. These things are not single strings, pardon the pun. They are, in fact, an interwoven rope that we have to make strong. And that is a metaphor I keep thinking about from the end user perspective. But remember, if you will, we have are we up to 2.2 or are we still the underside of 2 billion internet users at the moment? Well, there's 7 billion people on the planet. They're not all going to fit in .com and .net. Final comments. I see Badwin and then I see Holly. Go ahead, Badwin.
Cheryl, ça devient très important parce que vous dites qu'il y a 2 milliards d'internautes, c'est vrai. Mais avec le nouveau GTLD...
With the new GTLDs, we can have 2 times 2. Maybe you have different, more communities, so this is more important. With regards to this, those who have domain names and want new GTLDs, if you... If you want to work with the country name, I am thinking very fast, sorry. The question was as follows. Those who have the domain name with .com, .net, etc., they are in a country, and we have to do new GTLDs. Should we work with the country code and transfer from .fr to go to the country code? So what are the problems? What are the advantages for the users? What can we tell to the users? C'est une bonne question. Okay. The reason why this is a good question is because the people who
don't know about .com, they don't know about existing TLDs. The country code TLD operators have varying models. Many of them have been running for several years, and their model may be one that is not able to meet all the needs of their local internet community. If that's the case, then what I would be saying to those who perceive that they need more and may, in fact, as a community, for example, a language group, a cultural group, an interest group, they may see a new GTLD as an opportunity. The question is it one that may need to be done just in Congo, in country, or is it one that needs to be done under Africa as a whole? These are decisions that the meeting of people together to talk can only decide. And that's why I'm planting these seeds in all of your minds, because Olivia and I need back from you, but you also now know what you need to talk about in country. Holly, go ahead.
Holly Roche, ISOC AU. Just a question. What about also in terms of metrics by language group as well?
I think the measurements of script and language diversity is important, and we have listed those as specific measures. we're lucky because there is actually fairly few, and we've already got the measurement of the internationalized domain names that have come online, and they are all new GTLDs. So we are able to take our snapshot now. And yes, we need to look very closely in the future, because it may be that a name is only meeting the needs of a particular region or a particular country, and that is going to help decision-making processes in the second or third round. Because if that need is in another region or other country, they might need to accept a similar but not confusingly similar name. Okay, Mohammed, please go ahead.
Yeah, it seems as we are going to collect information pre the launch of the GTLDs, it will be also good to look at the objection processes that will be in place. We'll be keen to see if there is registrant users, internet users, who are complaining or objecting to the application that will be put forward. So if we follow that that process, and we also have some sort of matrix coming from ICANN, trust that will be good. It will be good to have this information because it's very useful. I hope we have cooperation from ICANN.
We do.
Because it's basically this information is available in terms of data escrows and all that.
We have absolute cooperation from ICANN. This is an ICANN board decision to explore these definitions and metrics, and they require all of the component parts of ICANN, all of the ACs, and all of the support organisations to have input on it. So it is being taken seriously, and it is incredibly important that these measures are public, transparent, and ongoing. Don't just give us a table every 12 months at the annual general meeting. Run it as a dashboard, because some of us would be interested in watching those flows and ebbs of metrics. With reference to the complaints, that is why we thought having input from the government representatives was so important. It is very likely that their own in-country consumer protection organisations may be a source of complaint that we are unaware of. Not everyone has the ability to escalate something to as formal a thing as a UDRP. But if it's a misleading domain and people are complaining that in a particular dot whatever, they are feeling that there is misappropriation or misleading behaviour, it will be their local in-country consumer organisations who will hear about that first. Let's face it, Aunt Mary doesn't think of ICANN when she thinks of making a complaint about what she's bought online. Aunt Mary thinks of who is my local member or my local mayor or my local or regional consumer protection organisation. And we need ICANN to tap into those metrics as well. Yes, go ahead, Renata, and then Evan.
Thanks, Cheryl. A question about sectoral breakdown of registrars and registries as a tracking.
Well, it's delightfully easy now. We've got pins on the map, at least for the registries and registrars. That needs to be put in an easily digestible form, and then we need to see what happens geographically and sectorally. And they are two different things, of course, as we roll out the new GTLDs. That's an essential measure. I couldn't agree more. The question is, how do we tease down into some of the issues that Garth was referring to earlier? Because when you peel off the layers of the onion as it is now, there really is only a couple of major players. And that needs to be made obvious. And if they've swallowed up all the new GTLDs in 2 years' time or 3 years' time when we review it, we need to know that. So unless those points on the map and in the sector graphing has changed, then I guess we would all be in a position to question the success of the new GTLD program, certainly on some of the metrics we've put out. And guess what? We have to be diligent on this, the end user and at-large community. We are the watchdogs on this. We have to watch it carefully. I'd like to just make sure that we have time to wrap up. And I do want to pass to Evan, and I want to give Olivier, who shares the joy of this work group, with me. No, he does not want to speak at all. Right. Okay. Evan, go ahead. Okay, as is, and then, yes, Sebastian, you will be the last speaker, which is only appropriate, sir. Go ahead, Evan.
I want to sort of harp back to the distinction between the end user interest and the registrant interests. And one of the things that I haven't heard yet is when talking about issues of trust and choice, we're not talking about, in fact, the most high-level trust and choice, which is use the DNS or don't use the DNS, as opposed to which TLD, the choice of using any TLD as opposed to using no TLD. It's not a coincidence that in the Google Chrome web browser, there's not a separate window to put in a search term or a domain name. You type the domain, you type the name of the company, and maybe it's a domain or maybe it's a Google search, and you get to where you're going using the same method. You have people that are capable of getting to the information they want on the internet totally bypassing the domain name system. When WikiLeaks went through problems and all of the registries refused to give them a name and all they had was an IP number, people still found them. So I guess what I am sort of distressed to not hear is when we're talking about issues of choice, it's all within this little money-making, domain-selling business, as opposed to the ultimate end-user choice of whether or not to use the domain system at all or just totally bypass it and use search engines or other means to totally not even use it.
Evolution is evolution, and it will occur in the naming number and the nomenclature on the internet as well. The purpose of this work group, however, is to do a before and after measurement for metrics and establish criteria on terms pre and post new GTLDs. So it's just that we're sticking to our paddock. Is it still worthy of looking at? Certainly. But it's not the mandate of this group. And it would be a creeping of scope that would cripple the group's ability to function. Should we have the discussion? Absolutely. And it probably is a perfect opportunity when the review team that will follow, the at-large community perhaps, will have already a set of opinions that they can feed into that review team process, because that's where that belongs, as is.
Cheryl, my question... The new GTLDs, I would like to ask the question regarding those who will submit candidacies with regards to domain names for a city in Africa, for example, or something sacred, a plant or something that is sacred to this country and that is also a big brand in America and Europe. And automatically, with the price of $185,000 plus infrastructure, it's up to $1 million. Won't these the same marks, the brand who will win? As you probably know about .Bakel, this a city in Senegal that is a cosmetic brand, and it's a plant also. So how I can, or the decision makers will rule, shall we give the priority to something that is rather sacred rather than something commercial? How is it going to be?
It is my pleasure to tell you that the objections process, as soon as the proposed strings for new GTLDs comes out, there is a community and government objections process. So it won't even get through the assessment and funnel if we do our job right. That failsafe is in fact already engineered into the system. But what we all need to do is make sure our communities, our governments, and our decision makers know about it in a timely manner. And we may be able to have some fora or leaders group in certain regions and countries that can stand united, and those types of things will never get through the assessment process line and therefore will not come to auction. remember the weighting if you have community support as opposed to dot brand. There is different weightings as well. But we recognise, ICANN has recognised, that if it came to a community-based organisation or a dot brand with big pockets or even a country and a dot brand with big pockets, when it goes to auction, we know who will win. So the art, and the art is good, is to make sure it never even gets that far. And guess what? Advertisement time for Evan, his work group, Avery and he are leading up a revitalised new GTLD work group. One of the tasks will be specifically looking at these objection processes and measures, and I suspect you'll be putting your name down for that immediately. Eduardo. Tiny. I have a board member who wants to talk. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just a quick question. Are we going to measure those objectives too? I mean, the ones that they don't get through? Is that something on the measure that we're going to do?
We have not, under the terms of reference of this work group, but it is a perfect thing for something like our new GTLD work group to keep a metrics measure of, because that will be in the public fora. We will see strings come out and we will see them be objected to. So perhaps it's something we can either ask ICANN to make sure is recorded, or it's something we can do the watch work on. Sebastian.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much. I want to congratulate you for the job you are doing, because it's a very important point. I will say that ICANN failed in the previous round to do something consistent with that, and it's really very important that you go ahead with that and you succeed in it. I was wondering if we can. We have some snapshots who were done at the end of the first round. I don't know if it's the same metrics that you are willing to push ahead, but I would like to know if you don't think that it could be interesting to do a snapshot now on the situation, and then to see if some of those metrics done at the end of the first round could be useful for the next round or the second round or the third round. I don't know where we are. It's a question, but I think there are very few people who are. Who will push that, and if this group can do it, I think it will be very useful for ICANN in general. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. I think on behalf of Olivia and I, we can say so noted, and what we will ensure, because yes, we are exactly doing the snapshot taking now. What we need to do is look at the snapshot taken then, and that isn't on our agenda, but I'm sure we will push it to the agenda at our next meeting. Remember, this meeting is an outreach opportunity for us to get at-large input into the work that the work group is doing. And that is going to be something that I look forward to seeing in a wiki page, should the ALAC decide to adopt the charter and endorse our work going through the existing work group, then we will have a multilingual wiki page set up. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where anything that you think is a good idea, any challenge, any question can be put, and Olivier and I will, as promptly as we can, as mere humans, respond to it and take it onto the work group. Final calls for anything. If not, I'm plumb tuckered out, desperately need a drink of water, and will hand back to the chair. So.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and thank you for your fantastic presentation. Certainly a lot of input from at large, and that's really, really great, because that's exactly the sort of input that was required by the working group. And we have been asked to spend the time on it, and I'm very glad that we did spend the time and have so much input to bring back to the working group. If I could just remind everybody to speak slowly for the interpreters who came to me earlier and asked me for their survival. I'm the first perpetrator of speaking too fast, so I do apologize for that, and I have asked Heidi from time to time to wave at me and either hit me or something to tell me slow down. The next part we have, and unfortunately we have half an hour to deal with this until we have the lunchtime break and working lunch. We have in half an hour to go through the at-large improvements and the review of the milestone report and also the next steps. So the milestone report is actually linked to the agenda that we have. And just to give you a quick background, and what I will do is to just read basically the purpose of this report, which is in the report itself. That gives a very short intro of what this milestone report is all about. Initially, well, every part of ICANN has to go through an improvements process where an external organization is contracted to review a part of the organization and produce a set of recommendations for the improvement of that part of the organization. The improvements or the recommendations are gathered from interviews of members within the organization, outside the organization, from observing the processes, a whole number of parameters that get taken into account. This then gets reviewed by the community, and the recommendations are amended, and there's a great deal of input from the community itself to improve the improvement recommendations. So it's a double improvement process. Cheryl Langdonor at the time was chair and initiated this, and in fact, I don't know, do you wish to say a couple of words about the early days, because this happened prior to my actually arriving on the scene, so maybe a couple of words from you, Cheryl, please.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. I think what's important to note and why every one of you should be very proud of how we as a group, regional, at-large structure and ALAC approach that is in the early days it was like every other review. The independent reviewers did their remunerations and interviews and various other things. Then they made their report. Then the ICANN convened management work group, look at those recommendations, go through other iterations of public comment and discourse and review with you and everyone else in the ICANN community. Then they make a set of recommendations which were, with one exception, adopted by the ICANN board. There was a modification from the recommendation for having two voting board members selected by the at-large, and that was reduced to one. So we ended up with a very interesting set of 13 primary recommendations. By the CEL meeting, we had done something rather special and which no other reviewed group in ICANN had done. We had taken those lumpy recommendations and put them into a set of implementables and a bunch of sub-units. So we listed enablers, things we believed would need to be done for each of these recommendations to be implemented. And instead of leaving it to the 15-person ALAC or some subcommittee thereof, we put it back to the regions. We formed the work teams, which were led by regional people, which were populated by ALS members and regional people, and, of course, which ALAC members had the right and privilege to be engaged in, but on an equal footing. So this is the best example of a bottom-up input via this work team model that we came up with that is unique in ICANN and I believe should be seen as best practice for the future. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So picking up from where Cheryl left off, the four work teams worked very hard and produced an expanded set of recommendations from the original 12 which they dealt with, the 13th one being the selection of a board member. And we have that board member actually in the room, Sébastien Bachollet. And so the 12 recommendations were worked on, and from there, thanks to having a consultant also come on the case, Seth Green, whom I think many of us have interacted with. I'm not sure whether he is online. Okay,
yes.
So and may we ask him any questions, or could he add anything, or is this technically a bit difficult?
No, I think it's fine.
I think it's fine, okay. Can we maybe ask him to add a little bit of his point of view, his input in this, please? And I don't have a magic button to get Seth online, so someone will have to... Checking with Adigo. Okay, well, in the meantime, then, let's just pursue. So these recommendations gave another set of recommendations, an expanded set, and this, of course, has to work hand-in-hand with the board's Structural Improvements Committee, because the whole process is actually part of ICANN's DNA. So the whole set of recommendations has now been put into a report. That report was published. I would think that at-large advisory committee members have read that report and have then voted on that report and whether it reflected the views of their community and their convictions. And the vote having passed, the report was passed on to the Structural Improvements Committee. I'm glad to announce that the Structural Improvements Committee has met this morning at the same time as when we were meeting, and just about an hour ago have all agreed to pass this whole report on to the board for board consideration. So that's a good point forward. Now, the process is far from finished because the improvements process actually includes implementation of the recommendations that were made. So we've done a lot of work so far, but there's still plenty more work coming up for us. And so one thing which I would like to achieve today is to take the next steps at what we are going to do from now on. Now, the work teams, the four work teams that were in place have lived for, I would say, is it nearly 2 years? Have been very, very productive, but it is time now to move into the next step part, and that will require probably the formation of a new working group with someone leading that new working group. And so what I wanted to actually suggest already, and this is a suggestion and it's open for discussion, so if anyone thinks that it should be handled in a different way, then this is the time now to discuss it. I was going to suggest that as the person who has started the improvements process, that person might have the knowledge, the experience, the background, the overall view of the improvements process to be able to carry it to its conclusion, and was therefore going to suggest Cheryl Langdonor to lead the working group that we are going to form today to continue and bring this, the task force, okay, we'll call it, sorry, a task force, and lead the task force to take it there. So the taskmaster, whatever, TM, that will clash with another acronym, so we'll have to find something else. Anyway, the floor is open for discussion. Okay, so, well, there's no discussion. That's interesting. So either, I gather, well, either everyone is terrorized by Cheryl or, oh, there is. Tijani okay. Benjamin.
Okay, merci, Olivier.
Thank you, Olivier. There is no better decision than to put Cheryl at the head of this task force. She started the report that was approved, the recommendation report that was approved, and on the basis of which we created the work teams for the implementation report. She was everywhere in all the work teams. She already had done the first report. So if she's not in this final task force, I will be very unhappy indeed.
Intervention. just to remind everyone, the improvements actually cover an enormous amount of ground, and I have had we've actually got some of the ground that have been dealing with other parts of at large, which were all included in those work teams. Work Team A dealt with the ELAC's continuing purpose within ICANN. Work Team B dealt with the increasing participation by at-large structures, and a number of things have already actually come out of that. The increasing participation is a core part of ICANN, and certainly we are already working with other working teams to push this forward. The improving ALAC and at-large strategic operational and financial planning processes is actually already partly in use for our input into the strategic plan, into the ICANN overall operational plan, and that will translate, and we really are hoping that this will progress, will translate into us having, well, what we need to operate to expand, and that's money. That really is the core of the game for this, the funding for our activities that we wish to continue to offer to our members and to actually get new members coming from around the world. And the enhancing of the ELAC's policy advice process is extremely important, since one of our core jobs is to get the views and the comments from our members out there, the people at the edge, to have the actual input directly into the ICANN policy processes. And if we do not streamline the way that we do this today, when we have 300, 400, goodness knows, 1,000 organizations, and I'm hoping that we will reach that number, of course, when we have that number of people speaking, it will be absolutely impossible for us to be able to stream the information from the edge to the top of the ICANN pyramid. So it's important that we today make sure that we have processes in place to make sure even the faintest voice out there gets listened to, because the biggest criticism, the biggest failure that we would have would be to not be able to actually convey that information from the edge to the top. So any comments, questions? And if not, then I will ask. Okay, Cheryl, please.
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl Langdon, all for the transcript record. Just to give notice to those regional leaders in the room and those members of particularly this region, this is vitally important that some of this work is done hand in glove with you as leaders and with your individual ALSs, right down to rank and file members. There will be many opportunities for subcommittees and committees of the whole and cross-regional committees. What we need to do is find ways to work smarter, not harder, in the engagement process. And I think that's going to take some seriously clever thinking. So if I may be so bold as to suggest an agenda item for the Costa Rica meeting, I would like to see perhaps a half-day exercise devoted just to this. And when we have the opportunity of the regional leadership and ALS members in the room. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you, Cheryl, and that's a very interesting suggestion. And I wonder if I'm ready to second that and maybe put it as an action item, because I certainly believe that we have to push forward with this. I see a number of nods. So, Matt, an action item to? Oh, okay, it's already there.
It was one before it was even.
Okay, fine. You can read minds, can you, Heidi? Great. I better shield what I'm thinking of. Okay, great. So, it's just the tiredness and the zoning in and out sometimes that just lets you wander off in a direction or the other. Anyway, another coffee will take care of it. Right, so... So what we need then today is to form this task force, bearing in mind actually that some of the recommendations in there will actually be dealt with and be tackled by already existing working groups that are already there. There is one thing which Evan has just reminded me of, and that was the question of the vote which took place. Out of 14 votes that were expressed, we had a number of members who abstained and a number of members who voted no to the in the specific vote, and I thought it would be fair to allow them to express themselves if they wish to as to why they abstained or voted no. So first, one abstention.
Three no's.
And three no's. Okay, so thank you, Matt. So the one abstention is actually sitting right next to me, and that's Evan, and I thought perhaps, Evan, do you wish to say anything about your abstention, or...
I carefully considered the report, and although I totally agree with most of what is in there, there's one or two contentious points that I had a problem with, and I think some others will also mention this. And it had to do with the section to do, I believe it came out of Work Team B, about ALAC member participation, and it used the word sanctions, that there be some kind of a regime considered that if an ALAC member was considered to either not attend meetings or not participate in votes, that it was ALAC to actually invoke sanctions against the person. Myself, and I think some others who might want to talk also here, had a problem with this in saying that if a region sends somebody to ALAC, this is an accountability issue to that RALO and not an issue to be dealt with by ALAC. That while one may want to consider issues to recall somebody that was elected if they are not effective, that is a choice for the region, that is an issue for the people that elected that representative. In the case of the nominating committee, that's a different issue that needs to be dealt with them. But I was very strongly of the opinion that the word sanctions was inappropriate to have in the report. It may have been passed by the ALAC review to the improvements team, but the improvements team had the option to consider and reject that before putting it in the report. So that's simply an explanation of why I abstained on it.
Thank you, Evan. And we have a queue already regarding this. Next is Carlton.
Thank you, Chair. I voted, this is Carlton for the record, I voted no, and I voted no on principle, because if you look at the specific letters in the report, it says, create and implement a transparent sanctions process. In the first instance, I believe it is simply wrongheaded for you to speak of sanctions for volunteers on principle. Secondly, I believe that any kind of reference to discipline for membership must go back to the root. I am trying here to ensure that we preserve the bottom-up process. When a member is elected to ALAC from a RALO, it is the business of the RALO to keep and make that member accountable. I do not believe it is the ALAC's business to impose that from above. What I do believe, however, is that the ALAC has a duty of care to ensure that the RALO has the information that it needs to at least guide their response to the accountability of that member. Similarly, with regard to a member that is promoted to the ALAC by the NOMCOM process, I believe we should revert to the process to keep that member accountable. And therefore, what we might suggest is a better vetting process for members who are proposed for sitting on the body. I also believe that the proper response is for the non-com to develop a recall process for that commission. I think it is very important for us not just to keep the spirit, the letter of the bottom-up process, conserve that, but we also must, in spirit, do the same. And that is why I voted no.
Thank you very much, Carlton, and your comment is on the record, so that's great. Next on my list is Tijani.
Yes. I might disagree with Carlton. Although we are volunteers, we should not stop the advance of an institution, the operation. A municipal councillor is a volunteer, but there are provisions in the regulations. If he's two or three times absent, he will be eliminated.
Je pense que cette notion de
this concept of sanctions was introduced during the initial report. And the initial report was approved. Then the work team working on this subject was presented this work during two or three sessions at ICANN, like the one similar to the one we have today. So I don't know why the its reserves were not expressed when it was presented. Finally, I would like to say that if the term sanction is displeasing to many people, we can replace it. But the concept of saying that if we're a volunteer, we can do whatever we want to, we can come, not come, vote or not, this is troubling to me. And this would lead to Alak's work being impeded. So it's Rallo and Nomcom who selected it. Him, it's their problem, but also it's Alak's problem. Thank you, Tijani.
I have a quick response.
Carlton, what I'm trying to do is first get everyone's point of view. I know we've also got an extensive email discussion that took place. I'm not sure that we actually have the time to debate the actual issues there. And what I was going to suggest then is that all of this material gets taken for the working, the task force, to deal with, because I think this is certainly something that might be divisive, but I can also hear much common ground as to everyone thinking, well, we can't just come here and do anything. There is a responsibility for each one of us. How that responsibility gets put forward is something which we are going to have to discuss, because clearly there are differing points of view. It's okay with you, Carlton?
I will not really, Chair, but I will abide by the ruling.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. Next is Sergio.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Sergio Salinas Porto, and I will speak in Spanish. I voted against. It was one of the negative votes. And that is because of 9.4.5. .2, 9.4.2.3, 5.5.5, and 9.4.5.6. I believe that more effort should be invested by RALOS and ALAC for members to be more acquainted with their rights and duties. Applicants' rights, people who are being candidates for elective positions, should be clear for those who take them on. Performance reports could be a possibility once the fiscal year is over, once the 10-year year is over, by letting the RALOS know how their ALAC members are performing, but ELA could not sanction Rayla's reps because they are sovereign and they choose the reps. It's not the other way around. We are here because there were a region ALS group that voted for us to be here. That is why we need to go back to our ALSs and tell them about their actions and not the other way around. ALEC should not have superpowers under Rayla's, and that was my point. There is no possibility of sanction against the region members. Regions should sanction their own people, not the other way around. ALEC cannot sanction ALSs. That's all.
And I can now see a rainbow of different views in there, and I'm sure that we'll all go into the input process. Next on my list is Darlene, and then there'll be Wolf afterwards. So, Darlene, please.
I'll be brief. As you mentioned, we did have an extensive email conversation on this. Sorry, my name is Darlene Thompson, for the record, Secretariat for the North American RALO. So I'm not speaking as an ALAC member, but as a person from the region. And right now, it is very difficult for the regions to be able to track what their ALAC members are doing. I mean, sure, I can because I'm here and I can see them. But the regional people don't have that. So they don't know if they're showing up to meetings when they're here traveling. Sorry. They don't know if they're showing up to ALAC telephone conferences, and they don't know if their reps, their elected reps, are giving any kind of substantive input rather than just saying me too on any vote or anything like that. We need much better lines of information coming from the ALAC back to the regions saying on a regular basis, here is what your rep is doing. I don't believe it should be at the end of their term. I think it should be continuously every few months so that a problem can be dealt with and perhaps that person needs encouragement. Also, I think at the beginning of every election, the ALAC should provide the RALO with a job description. Here is what you should be voting on, this type of person that can do this job. That way, the RALO will know what they're looking for in an ALAC person, and also then the ALAC person can say, hey, here's what I bring to the table, and we'll be able to do this job for you. That way, both parties know up front what they're in for and what their expectations should be. So again, I agree it shouldn't be about sanctions from the ALAC, but if the ALAC cannot sanction, and right now the RALOs do not have enough information to be able to track their elected members, so things need to be improved. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Darlene. And I do have to point your attention to the fact that on Tuesday we have a session at 1400 that will deal specifically with the development of ALAC metrics. And that is something which Gisela will be able to speak to us about, what can be tracked. And perhaps that is already a first step into moving in a direction where I've seen quite a few people nod their head with the mention of metrics. Maybe that is something, that is one of the solutions or partial solutions to the problem that we are facing here today. Next on my list is Wolf and then Sandra. So, Wolf, please.
I have the feeling there is a certain misunderstanding. Who is in charge? Is it responsibility of ALEC? Or is it a shared responsibility? In my eyes, it needs to be a shared responsibility. And I agree, I don't like the word sanction. This is an inappropriate term in this context when you deal, I entirely agree with Carlton, when you deal with volunteers. On the other hand, there is no doubt that a volunteer community by the time needs some professionalization as well. So we are not just here for our own purpose. We have a mandate to represent the user and consumer communities on a regional and at large level, and therefore we have to fulfill certain requirements. and obligations. And I entirely agree with some votes from my colleagues that as far as regional selected ELEC reps are concerned, I think the region has a particular responsibility. Coming back to Darlene's question, for me, I think I have, as a regional officer, together with Oksana, with the regional secretariat, we have a special supervision function in this direction. I need to know what are our ELEC members, even the NOMCOM selected one, is doing the way he, she represents our region at large. And I must have a solid idea about this. And then I can consult with my region to say this is a person who has done a marvelous job as we had many examples in the past, or I may bump into a case where I feel this time it was not sufficient, and then I have to argue, I have to discuss with the person. And I cannot delegate this responsibility to at large, but it must be solved in a cooperative way with the ExCom of at large and with the other colleagues, and I think it needs to be called shared responsibility.
Thank you very much, Wolf. And I think that you met ALAC, the committee, rather than at large dealing with this. So thank you. Next on the list is Sandra and then Jose Arce. And we're very close to lunchtime, and I'm sure you're all very hungry. So Sandra first.
Sandra Hofrichter, for the record. Thank you, Olivier. I just want to be very brief. I absolutely agree with many things said, especially by Darlene and Wolf. And I don't see this as contradictory to the milestone report, because it is about shared responsibility. ALAC and the regions has to find a solution. And I know that Bo Brandler, I don't know if I spell his name right, but you might know him, he made a proposal on the mailing list to set up a working group who goes into detail, and this working group or the chair of the working group does not necessarily have to be an ALAC member. It can also be one of the regional representatives, and I think we can, I mean, that would be a proposal I would strongly support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra. And next is Jose Arce.
Voy a hablar en español para el registro. José Arce es mi nombre. Soy el presidente.
I am José Arce. For the record, I will speak in Spanish. For the record, José Arce is my name. I am the chair of LAC RALO, and I would like to make a brief comment because I know you're hungry, and about these issues that were discussed about the sanctions. I agree with the fact that we don't call them sanctions, but what I do want to highlight is that there should be some kind of consequence because of the actions of the members of ALAC. We were discussing at the meeting of the officers that there should be some kind of consequence for the inactive ALSs. So if we agree, most of the regions, there has to be some consequence for the inactive ALSs, and there should be some consequence for an inactivity of some ALAC member. I don't think this is thought in the same sense. If we say that it has to be some consequence for an inactive ALS rather than for an ALAC member, this is food for thought only. That's all.
Thank you very much, Jose. Certainly with regards to the inactive or non-active ALSs, I know that the secretariats are currently engaged in a discussion process. So that, I guess, is a parallel discussion. I'm not sure whether one can learn from one discussion and bring it into the other discussion. It might be possible. But clearly I see there is some consensus around the room about not being completely inactive. There is a consensus about having metrics of some sort, and that's something which we're going to be dealing with later this week. And so I think, well, we're not going to solve this subject today, but certainly it's a really good base to build now the working task force that will be able to work on these issues. I was going to propose a couple of things. The first one, with regards to the task force, is that, and what I was going to propose was that anyone from ALSs, regional leadership, and ALAC members can attend. Is anyone against that? I'm not going to have any vote because it just takes more of our time and our lunch will probably be finished by the time we get there. But does anyone object to having anyone being able to join this group? Jose? Sergio? Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sergio Salinas Porto. For the record, I will speak in Spanish. Let me ask you something, if I may. Will there be any possibility of having interpreting efforts at the task force meetings so that we can have the involvement of members from the different regions? Because if we only speak English, and at least in RALO ALAC, many organizations cannot speak English and would certainly like to be part of that.
That's a very good question, Sergio, and I am unable to give you the answer right now. It obviously has to do with financing of this, and that's something which I hadn't considered. So we will be getting back to you on this, but your question has been noted. So perhaps as an AI, we do need to find out and establish, find out the costs. Tijani.
Merci.
Thank you, Olivier. I believe Christina came to their last meeting and she told us it would be possible to have the translation for a work group when people were requiring. And she asked us, there was a work group, there were some people from this room in, who have to see which work group whose members want to participate but are not able due to linguistic barriers. And we were not able to find a list of this work group. So on principle, there is an agreement, Christina told us here, but I do not believe there is any restrictions constraints that to have an interpretation and work group.
I just do not wish to commit today to saying yes when suddenly I be told no, because that certainly would disappoint everyone. What I wish to say is to keep the door open, bearing in mind that we have spoken with Christina about this and that Christina will be seeing us later. I don't know if it's even today or later. Today. Oh, okay. Well, that will be fresh in our minds. She will be coming later today. If I could, I would say yes, absolutely. We should be able to work for something as important as that. But now we just need to find out on a step-by-step basis. What I was going to ask before we break off for lunch is to have a show of hands for volunteers as a starting group in this task force. The fact being that we can add more volunteers, of course, for all those people who are not going to be, who are not here at the moment. And of course, we will have a call for volunteers from the regions. And on top of that, bearing in mind that the main task force might have to be cut into smaller sub-task force as such, but that really will be up to Cheryl, who will be leading the effort, depending on how many things have to be dealt with at the same time. I don't think that we would have the whole task force deal with absolutely every single issue, but then maybe I'm speaking too early, and it will be up to Cheryl to, with her very extensive experience in those things, to choose at that point. So the first thing was just a show of hands as to who wishes to be part of this effort. And if I could have someone record that from staff, please. Or perhaps can we all say our name to the record and that then we can get it from the transcript. So Cheryl Langdonor, I gather. I see Devon and Tilak Singh. I see Sergio, Jose Arce, Sintra, because I see Sintra and I see Tijani, and it unclicks in the head. It just goes totally wrong. Tijani, Dave Kisson-Doyle,
It's a little bit like when you have these words and colors and you have to read, see the color and the words are different and it just makes a mess to your head. Salanieta, we have Edmund Chung, we have Sylvia, we have Darlene, and behind I saw a hand without a body. Was that...
A hand without a body?
No, a hand without a body. I just saw a hand. Was that Ganesh? Did you put your hand up?
Ganesh, you are putting your
hands up. Because from this perspective, I just see hands and so on. It's difficult to recognize you by your hand, yet alone with a distance by your face.
It's the new zombie Rallo.
The new zombie Rallo, right. Okay, well, if anyone else, and I know you can all participate also, members of the audience, if anyone else feels that they wish to participate, they don't wish to commit themselves right now, then of course we will acknowledge and bring them into the working, the task group. Cheryl, do you wish to say any further words before we close off for lunch? I see you are very hungry. I think we all are. I would like to thank absolutely everyone. Just the one action item, of course, is the follow-up on this task force. Okay, thank you. And I would like, before we break off for lunch, to give you what the arrangements are. There is a tent outside which sells sandwiches and drinks, etc. The good news is that it's not very far. The bad news is that it only accepts CFA francs. And for those of you who haven't got CFA francs, there are two cash machines that are located on the premises. The good news is that they are on the premises. The bad news is that they are over in the hotel next door, you are able to get the cash from over there, and you are able also to bring back the food to this room. What we will have is a working lunch with Cheryl Langdonor, who will be standing far away from us because her mouth will be full at the same time, who will be leading a team building exercise, I understand. Is that correct?
That is correct, Olivier, and Cheryl, for the transcript record. Before you let the denizens loose upon the sandwich sellers, I wondered if I could suggest that I set a tiny little task for them to think about before they come back, that's all.
I'm sorry, Cheryl, I didn't hear the last
word. That would be because you weren't listening, Mr. Chair.
I was. I have two ears, one forever and one for you. Two vice chairs.
Well, the one for me wasn't open. I wondered if I might, before you let everyone loose on the sandwich sellers, just set everyone a little task, because I can think of it, at least it's going to take at least 20 minutes for that logistics to work, so I might just set a little task for them to think about while they're standing out there buying their sandwiches, if you don't mind.
To set everyone on the task?
A task. I will set a task.
Ah, okay, fine. Great. Yes, I'm sorry, the ears are... The whole thing is actually frying at the moment. Right, well, do you want to go ahead with it?
If you're ready, so yes.
I'm certainly ready. My ears definitely are not anymore, but, well, try and listen.
Okay, the concept of when you come back here with your lunch will be for the ALAC and regional leaders, new and old, to gather around this table, right, with your lunches... But we're going to start some ice-breaking and some discussions and perhaps learn a little bit about each other and our methods and mechanisms. While you're at lunch, I would like you to be able to come back into the room to share with us, if you will, and there ought to be none that don't, what animal, mythical or otherwise, you believe you are, in inverted commas, and also what person... alive or dead, or even imaginary, you would wish to have an afternoon's conversation with. And by discussing those two things, we'll learn an awful lot about each other. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So what animal do you think you are? What person would you like to speak to? Does it actually also matter if you're an animal that cannot speak to that person?
Magic will be in the room.
Magic and interpretation, I would gather, as well.
Okay, right. Well, thank you very much, and bon appétit, everybody.
Oh,
and one more thing also, one last thing from Evan.
I want to thank everybody. We've received 17 responses to the survey. The answers have actually been somewhat distressing, as I guess we expected. If you have not done the survey, please refer to the link that has been posted in both the Skype chat in the Adobe Connect room. We have it written here, or ask me. The information is going to be very valuable as we go back to the hotel, as we go back to meeting staff. And I'll also be publishing a link later that will have a summary report of what everyone has said. One person has actually responded that their sink is missing.
Thank you very much, Evan, and this morning session is now adjourned.